Hey, whether you enjoy listening to Breaking Down Collapse or Building Up Resilience, I think you'll also really enjoy our bonus content on Patreon.
Yeah, Kellen and I take 20 minutes each week to talk about the news that's happening all around us and Collapse as it plays out. We like to have a little fun with it, but also make sure that you're aware of what's going on in the world of Collapse.
We look forward to having you join us there. The link to join us on Patreon is in the episode description.
Ein neuer Tag auf der Liebesinsel. Es wird gezwitschert, geflirtet.
Bist du einfach reich?
Bin reich mit Liebe.
Gestritten.
Viel Spaß mit der Hexe im Haus.
Und gefeiert.
Die Party kann losgehen.
The Violent VIP is back. Endlich. Donnerstag, 20.15 Uhr bei RTL 2. Und auf RTL Plus streamen.
Hey, so I thought this was extremely interesting and worthy of a discussion today. The government of Finland released a paper. It's a 165-page document in which they essentially choose four different scenarios for what the future could look like. And they state as a purpose in there to support the strategic decision-making of the government and the government as a whole. The shared understanding of the overall picture of the strategic operating environment produced by the government supports the realization of coherence, consistency, and long-term decision-making. So, I mean, governments all over the world do this type of thing. They kind of game plan, they look at what the future could be, and then they try and understand the different possible scenarios so that they can make decisions in the long term. Not all of those governments are sharing these documents. Finland did in this case, which is great. But I'm sure that, you know, in the U.S., for example, I know that they're always war planning and playing out various scenarios, and I don't think all of that sees the light of day. Well, that said, this Finland list of scenarios, there's four scenarios that they did in this 165 paper. They were the world of cooperation, the world of tech giants, the world of blocks, and the fracturing world. Now, I haven't read through all of it. Again, it's 165 pages. It's basically the size of a small book. And so I haven't taken the time to go through all of it, but I did go through the fourth one, the fracturing world, which is essentially their view of collapse. Now, the whole paper was in Finnish and Swedish. I speak neither of those languages, so I did have to use some help to get the document translated. And obviously, I wasn't going to translate all 165 pages, so I translated it in chunks and did the best I could to get what I could. So I'm going to read the introduction first, sort of to this section of the paper. This is sort of their view of the world in a collapse scenario by 2045. So this is, you know, this is only 20 years into the future. They're not talking about going all the way to 2100. This is pretty immediate stuff, right? If you're in your mid-20s right now, this is stuff going on in your mid-40s, right? I'm 35, so by the time I'm 55, before I've even had the chance to retire, this is their view of a collapsed world, and especially as it relates to the EU and to Finland. But it says this, again, translated to English, so it may not always be translated correctly. In a breaking world, the warming of the climate far beyond the targets of the Paris Agreement is irreversible. Deteriorating living conditions have led to struggles over resources. Deepening environmental issues have resulted in conflicts that cannot be resolved. The conditions for food production have drastically deteriorated. There is a lack of clean water. Famines and climate migration have increased, and the water crisis is causing ongoing conflicts. Pandemics, droughts, wildfires, and floods are common. Heat waves increase mortality. The environment is polluted and the seas are filled with flotillas of garbage. Ecological collapse has simultaneously undermined the social and economic system. The global economy is in crisis. Trade wars and bloc politics have become the norm. In developed economies, living standards are declining. The most vulnerable countries are collapsing and extreme poverty is rising. Many countries can no longer meet their citizens' basic needs or provide security, which undermines legitimacy. Power vacuums are arising, filled by non-state actors, various rogue states or groups serving their interests, as well as terrorist and criminal organizations. Global polarization has increased, and social inequality has grown. Okay, there is a lot there. What they have done is laid out, after this, a timeline. And so they have basically said, you know, in basically 5 to 7 year chunks, something like that, here is what we feel like is going to happen between now and 2045 to get to this sort of super fragmented world. There are a couple things, well, there are several things to call out, but we'll do that as we go through the timeline itself. So starting in, it looks like they're in five-year chunks. Starting in 2025 to 2029, it says, climate impacts accelerate with extreme weather and ecosystem collapses multiplying. Trade disputes escalate into full-scale trade wars. Pandemic risks remain uncontrolled, spreading regionally and globally. Migration pressures mount as living conditions deteriorate in vulnerable areas, and international cooperation weakens. The UN and global governance structures lose credibility. That's all in the next 4 years. And I can see why they feel this way. We are starting to see so much of this already happen. Of particular interest to me at the moment, and something that's just fascinating, is the political response around the globe to a collapsing world. The world is turning towards fascism, and collapsing governments, as it says here, create power vacuums which get filled by terrorists and fragmented groups. And it is not something that I necessarily expected. You know, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I would have expected, in my naivety, I guess, that the world would have attempted to come together a little bit more, that there would be a bit more of a positive political movement, you know, in order to fix things. But it's basically just become this massive meltdown. Obviously, in the US, we are experiencing that meltdown full on. Other places in the EU, I know that there's a lot of issues right now with free speech and privacy and issues with surveillance across Europe, and the reaction to collapse, even now in the early stages, has just sort of a tantrum, like a melodramatic meltdown. And so when I talk about international cooperation weakening and the UN and global governance structures losing credibility, I can definitely see that happening. And right now we're witnessing that from just the way that, you know, for example, Donald Trump is treating the UN. He just held a speech at a conference there, the summit, and he went off script. He didn't have the teleprompter, and he was upset because the escalator didn't work. And the next thing you know, Fox News is calling for bombing the UN building. I mean, it's just all of a sudden, you know, Trump's telling the UN countries that they're going to hell. It kind of exploded into this thing where he is talking down the UN. He's done the same to NATO. So I know that the US does not, you know, represent the globe, but it is, has been up to this point, a particularly powerful nation in that regard and sort of a leader. And now the leader of that country is basically cheapening the value of itself and of these global organizations. Okay. There's a lot of other things there talking about migration pressures mounting. I think this is something that we have not even begun to see the full potential of. Yes, there is a lot of migration that does go on, but I think this has the potential, and I'll talk about this in further, you know, down the line in the scenario, but it has the potential to really become a huge issue globally. Now, obviously for both those who are forced to migrate and the places that they're migrating to. All right, from 2030 to 2034, ecological tipping points are crossed. Methane is released from ocean floors, accelerating warming. Great power relations deteriorate. Hybrid warfare and local conflicts intensify. The EU weakens as nationalist movements gain ground and solidarity breaks down. The global economy contracts severely. Debt crises, resource scarcity, and energy shortages trigger instability. Technology is increasingly weaponized and restricted by regional blocs. Finland experiences growing pressure from migration flows and geopolitical tensions in its neighborhood. Some interesting points, I think, to pick out here is resource depletion. They're basically saying 2030 to 2034, again, just 5 to 9 years from now, the Finland government is playing out a scenario. And I should clarify here, I'm not saying that Finland, the Finnish government, is expecting all of this stuff and saying that it's definitely going to happen this way, right? This is one of four scenarios that they have played out. But they obviously are viewing it as a real potential. So within 5 to 9 years or so, a breakdown of resource availability and energy availability and the instability that that would cause. It also talks about, again, how the EU itself weakens as nationalist movements gain ground. I find that to be really interesting along the political, geopolitical sphere again. I just have realized that the governance meltdown all over the world is going to be so much worse than I had originally anticipated. As governments turn inward to protect themselves and stop collaborating on an international scale, I mean, I can just picture how fast humanitarian efforts go away, right? And those developing countries and countries that are more in need immediately stop receiving aid, which is why pretty early on here, they had mentioned that developing countries and vulnerable countries will collapse quite rapidly. What happens when countries stop bailing each other out? When suddenly isolationism is all that every country is doing? Great power and relations deteriorate, and hybrid warfare and local conflicts intensify. So I can just imagine a world at war on a local scale and obviously on a greater global scale. All right, 2035 to 2039, so now we're talking 10 to 15 years away, ecosystem services collapse. Food production and water supplies face severe crises. Wars over resources intensify and fragile states collapse into chaos. Global security erodes, nuclear threats and cyber conflicts grow, international institutions are irrelevant, fragmented regional alliances dominate. Finland's environment changes, northern growing conditions improve at first, but instability makes benefits short-lived. Finnish democracy and trust networks face pressure from internal polarization and external influence campaigns. I really like that they call out that growing conditions in northern regions will improve at first. This is something that people talk about and, you know, climate deniers and say, well, if it stops being, you know, if we can't grow food in one part of the world, we can grow it in another because the northern regions where we can't grow now will warm. But Finland here is recognizing that, yeah, there may be a brief increase in conditions, but instability makes the benefits short-lived. It's not like, especially in a rapidly changing climate, it's never going to be consistent enough, and the infrastructure and such that needs to be created and put into place in new fields where food has not been grown ever, right, if not for tens of thousands of years, it's just not going to be a stable option. They've used the word chaos here, so fragile states collapsing into chaos. You can imagine much of the world as we see it today, right? Different countries like Syria, Myanmar, many nations in Africa where there's, you know, severe internal conflict and power vacuums, and then you've got, you know, border disputes and things like that that will surely take off, not just over land, but now over resources where larger countries will seek to take advantage of weaker countries with resources, and countries will literally be fighting for their lives, for the lives of their people, when, for example, you know, Egypt is no longer getting water because Ethiopia has dammed it, right? Same with Pakistan and India and so many other parts of the world when it comes to resources like food, water, and energy sources. All right, and then the end here, 2040 to 2044. Extreme poverty and famine expand across vulnerable regions. Mass migrations reshape continents. Europe faces millions seeking refuge. Ecological collapse and climate chaos overwhelm adaptation measures. Traditional democratic institutions hollow out, with fragmented communities based on wealth, religion, or ethnicity rising as the dominant social structures. Scientific and technological progress stagnates. Finland relies heavily on maintaining internal cohesion and resilience through strong local communities and trust networks. Now, this is as far as they go in the scenario, right, date-wise. But it seems like in some ways they're saying we are clearly on the downhill, right? We've peaked and are going back down. In other ways, they're saying we're just peaking, like with scientific and technological progress. That just kind of stagnates at this point. They don't really talk about how up to this point there's maybe the potential for a decrease in available technology or in the use of technology due to resources or catabolic collapse, right? I think it's a very real possibility that by this point we will have already hit that and stagnated. Well, I should say stagnated and reversed, right? And if not, then surely that reversal could come at this point after the stagnation. Going back to the mass migration idea, I thought it was interesting the word used here, that mass migrations reshape continents. They say Europe faces millions seeking refuge. I dare say it would be more than that, right? And the amount of refugees around the world would likely number in the tens or hundreds of millions, if not more. And if we think that conflict and war is bad now, when already so much of it in sort of the developed countries is built around immigration, you know, the US and the conflict, the populism here and in the UK and in other parts of the EU, I'm sure there's many other parts of the world where immigration is just a massive discussion, and it's relatively nothing at this point. Imagine the conflict, the wars, the tension, the polarization that will come as migration, you know, puts more and more pressure on countries into the future. And then the last thing to note here, traditional democratic institutions hollow out with fragmented communities based on wealth, religion, or ethnicity. Basically imagining a future in which society does not function as it functions now. We become tribes of people. It really reminds me of Parable of the Sower, right? Where people live together and based on, you know, company towns, based on wealth, the wealthy people all live together huddled up in one place, living in towns behind walls. There's religion or cults or whatever. And then people are living together along ethnic lines as well, in a way to protect themselves. Now, this was posted to the R Collapse subreddit, and I saw this there and read through some of the comments, and there was kind of a theme in the comments, which was that many people said they felt that the timelines here were generous, that they felt that many of these items would be happening sooner. And I'm not going to chime in on that because I don't know, right? And 20 years does not seem like a long time to me, and I know a lot of people have these varying opinions. Some people are very hyperbolic, right? Some people 5 years ago said that within 5 years, the entire world would be collapsed, right? You got Guy McPherson, who every 5 years is saying that the climate is going to destroy us all within 5 years, and it doesn't. Now, I'm not saying that it's not possible that within 5 years, we couldn't be totally collapsed. We could, but I don't think it's the most likely. I do view a scenario like this as being realistic, that we keep sort of chugging along, but in this rapidly, you know, downward pace. 20 years ago was 2005. I remember what I was doing 20 years ago. I was a high schooler, 20 years ago, and it does not feel like very long ago. 20 years from now is not a long time to find ourselves in these types of situations. I do truly think that we are in for a chaotic next decade and an even more chaotic decade after that. And from there, really, who does know, you know, what the situation becomes? I've always viewed 2050 as sort of an enigma. Like I can't imagine, I don't feel comfortable imagining a life, what life will be like at that point. There's a possibility that we're still chugging along, that we're still moving it. There's a possibility that you know, government institutions are still holding themselves together and still providing resources. Economies still exist. But in my mind, there's a very big possibility that the world is so unrecognizable at that point, much like this paper has described, and possibly even worse. What are your thoughts? Do you feel like this timeline is realistic? Do you feel like it's too generous, or is it too hyperbolic? Feel free to drop me a comment or questions or whatever. You can find me at Corey John on Reddit, or you can email me at breakingdowncollapse@gmail.com. All right. Thanks. Enjoy your day. See you later. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes, catch us daily, They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.